If we suffer with him, we shall be also glorified together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Once upon a time, on a cold Michigan winter day, with clouds still hesitant, as always, to let the rays of the sun pierced through the sky, attracted by the mighty steeple of Old St. Joe's, beacon of hope, attracted by the comforting sounds of its bells echoing around, a tired pilgrim pushed the heavy wooden doors of the church, as countless pilgrims have done before him, walked down the aisle, and knelt right there at the communion rail, right below the statue of the Sacred Heart. With a heavy heart and what seemed to be tears on his face, looked up and said to Jesus, "My good Jesus, I can no more. The cross of my life is too heavy. Come to my help." The good Lord, seeing the distressed soul, replied, "My son, if you feel burdened, and the weight is too heavy for you, leave your worries and sufferings at my feet here now and look around. See all the crosses and go pick the one you wish to carry." Relieved, the young man thanked his master and turning around saw in a glance all kinds of crosses with all kinds of shapes and weights, from simple humble crosses to heavy, ornated ones. The choice seemed difficult, but after a brief moment, pointing at a modest but nice crucifix, similar to the one placed on the altar of St. Joseph, worried that others might hear what he was going to say, whispered to the Lord, "My good Jesus, in union with you and with your cross, this is the one I want. The one that fits me best." Without any expression of surprise or disappointment, the Lord replied, "My son, this is the cross you're carrying. This is the cross I had prepared for you." St. Paul himself, as we recall, three times pleaded with the Lord to take away a thorn, a cross in his flesh, and yet received from his master that simple response, "My grace is enough for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." Another day, another pilgrim came in and knelt by the large crucifix in the back of the church, definitely angry and discouraged, grumbling against God, saying, "But who said that everyone should carry his cross? Really? Is there no other way? I'm frankly tired of carrying such a heavy burden." Attentive to his complaints, the good Lord wanted to answer him. And so he led the man in a dream where he saw everyone's life on earth similar to a huge procession, like the procession we had just a few days ago on the occasion of the Feast of St. Joseph. Everyone carrying his own cross, with each cross being different from the other. There the poor man saw himself partaking in the endless procession, walking with difficulty and carrying, dragging his long cross behind him. After a while, thinking that his cross was too long and therefore certainly slowing him down, in order to spare himself some trouble, decided to shorten that cross. And so off he goes. Sitting on a rock off the side of the main path, pulls out of his pocket his knife and with a few good notches shortens his cross a few inches. A little further down the way, still unsatisfied, the poor man does it again, shredding this time larger wood chips from his cross, repeating the process over and over. until he was finally able to hang that tiny little cross around his neck, close to his heart. Finally reaching the end of the trail, the poor man saw a deep precipice, similar to an endless hole, gaping wound in the ground. Not very wide, though, but just wide enough that no one could simply jump over it. And past that precipice was paradise, land of everlasting happiness, foreshadowing an enchanting spectacle. However, to cross it, no bridge, no gateway. Yet everyone around crossed easily, laying down their crosses and using it as a bridge. Of course, their crosses seemed tailor-made, perfectly fitting, allowing them to reach the other edge of the precipice. Except for our poor man. Because he had shortened his cross too much, he now found himself unable to cross the abyss. Simple stories, my dear friends, yet how true when looking at our lives. How many times a day do we try to shorten our crosses, putting them aside, complaining about them, and yet looking with envy at the crosses of our neighbor? How often do we imagine ourselves carrying a cross that is not ours and thinking that the cross of our own liking would be much lighter, much more appropriate and comfortable? It is the duty of the whole body of the church to live godly, says Pope Leo the Great. So is it her right at all times to be a bearing of her master's cross. And that's not only in her general body, but individually in the person of each one of us, who differ everyone from another in the way in which they have to carry their own crosses and the shape in which it is laid upon them. Instead of measuring our crosses, taking one, leaving another, embracing one, rejecting the other, this holy season invites us to fix our eyes on Christ and Christ alone. Ours are merited. We deserve our crosses, and the simple consideration of our past faults and betrayals should suffice to convince us of that reality. And so let's rejoice in them. Yes, let's rejoice in them. Because by accepting them and embracing these crosses, we shall pay off our debts while we still have time. But Christ, free from any sin, took his cross, allowed himself to be insulted, accused of being possessed by the devil, as we just read, accepted to be treated like the worst of criminals, not for his sins, since there was none, but for us. As St. Augustine teaches, he who created you without you will not justify you or will not save you without you. Obviously, he did not need us in order to create us. He created us in an act of love, but he wills to now need us for our own salvation. Access to heaven is now given us because of his sacrifice, but he still needs our cooperation, our participation in his passion, in accepting to carry the very instrument of our redemption, the cross. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Let each of you, wrote Pope St. Gregory, let each of you think within himself, if this voice of God, take up your cross and follow me, is heard in the ear of his heart, and if he knows already if he is of God or not. Today, my dear friends, our eyes are deprived of all spiritual consolations. The statues of the saints, the crucifix on the altar, All is veiled and kept hidden. The organ is silent, the flowers are gone, the relics are gone. The church is oppressed with grief. But the eyes of our souls are invited to look deeper into that faith, to contemplate the passion of our Lord, and soon to see his death on the cross. The evil plot is slowly unfolding before us, as we've read throughout the season of Lent in the liturgical text. We've heard the call of the Master: if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. Unfortunately, my dear friends, he does not offer any other alternative. So let's then examine our conscience. One call, one exhortation, and yet three categories of souls. The first one, those who do not even want to hear the exhortation of the Lord, whose ears, not of the soul but of the body, are voluntarily closed to the reception of the commandment of our Savior. And for them, let's continue to pray that they may soften their hearts and receive with joy and trust the exhortation of the Lord to take his cross and follow him. The second category of souls, those who listened and know deep down that they must cooperate to the work of salvation, but do not have any desire to practice the commandments and to follow the precepts of our Lord. They receive the message with their bodily ears, but their hearts are hardened and unwilling to leave a life of ease enslaved in sin for a life of grace, a grace which shall set them free. And so for them also, we pray. He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God, says our Lord. Finally, there are those who heard the word and received it with joy, and were even maybe moved to tears. But when their fit of weeping is past, they turn again back to their iniquity, their past sinful lives. Sad to say, my friends, sad to say that we are among them, and too often forget the first flame that in past time kindled in us the fire of divine love. For them, for each one of us, we pray. Oh, my good Jesus, help us to accept with confidence and joy our daily crosses, with the conviction that answering your call to take up our cross, we may receive eternal inheritance, because through the mouth of your apostle you promised, if we suffer with you, we shall be also glorified together. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.